Time's a-wasting.
All right, kids, take a seat. Let's go.
All right, we're going to move into item number 9, proposed translocation of mountain goats. This is a briefing. Dr. Harris, take her away, and if you can cut her down at all, you have our blessings.
I will try.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, members of the commission. Thanks for inviting me back. This is an item that has come up in passing on a number of occasions over the past few years. It's getting close to fruition now. A few months ago, I met with a few of you in Port Angeles, and we had a bit more of an in-depth briefing at that time. It was proposed that I come back and brief the entire commission and allow public as well to get updated on this plan. I will be kind of hop-skipping and jumping through this in the interest of time. Hopefully there'll be time at the end that you can drill down into any particular questions that I had to go over too quickly. This is a multi-agency project that we are cooperators on. We now are at the stage of having a draft environmental impact statement. There's a copy here. It's a quick read if you want to look, breathe through it. We are in the process of moving from draft to final environmental impact statement, having taken 2,200 comments or so and working on that. I'm going to focus, obviously, on our part of it, but we are working together, so I'm going to go through some background of the part as well. As you may know, mountain goats are not native to the Olympic Peninsula, although they are native to the North Cascades. They were brought there in the 1920s before the park was gazetted by hunting club. And it's been a conservation issue for the National Park Service for, by my reckoning, something close to a half a century. There have been a number of times that they've tried to address it. This is the latest, and I think the most serious and probably will be the most successful on their part. Goats gradually increased from the 1920s into the point where they became a huge problem. There were efforts to remove them in the 1980s and 1990s. This is a graph showing the approximate population size in Olympic National Park and adjacent national forests. As you can, and this is only from 1980 on. Obviously, doesn't show the run up to that, which has to be extrapolated because there weren't surveys done prior to 1980. It got to be something on the order of 1,000 animals. In the 80s and 90s, it was reduced purposely by translocation and some lethal removal. That effort was stopped due to congressional action to stop funding it in 1990s. And it stayed low, or relatively low, for a number of years, but started coming back up in recent years. And these are actually pretty good surveys which we helped design. So the important takeaway from this is that after a couple of decades of staying at a relatively low level, the population is coming back. And so the same kinds of resource issues the park has always been concerned about are on the horizon again. Meanwhile, mountain goats in the North Cascades have had the opposite trajectory. They've gone down. I should say that they've probably started to rebound a little bit in the last 5 to 10 years, but over the last few decades, mountain goats in the North Cascades are a fraction of what they historically have been. So that's been a conservation concern we've had for quite some time. We've documented this better in some places than others, but here's an example of some documentation the Forest Service did of a Forest Service fellow who was actually able to go out and do counts for a 40-year period, same guy, same area, noting goats declining. So we know that there are a lot of places where goats are a fraction of what they really ought to be. And why is this? Well, predominantly the reason is we overhunted them in this agency for decades. I'd feel bad about that, except that all the other agencies who hunt mountain goats were busily doing the same thing. There was just a misunderstanding in the scientific community for many years about that you can hunt mountain goats, but you can't hunt them like deer. You have to treat them very differently. And that's what we do now. So in a sense, we are trying to make up for our own misdeeds in the past, and the Park Service is doing the same by getting rid of an animal that they don't want. So it really is a potential win-win situation. These are the objectives the Park Service has articulated in their documentation. Of importance here are number 2, the second one, reduce or eliminate impacts on sensitive environments. Basically, you've got a non-native species that's become very abundant in a national park situation. They don't want to manage for non-native species. But I would also call your attention to the fourth or fifth one. They have actually put in their objectives, work cooperatively with co-managers of mountain goats, by whom they mean us, but also tribes in the North Cascades, support the wildlife management objectives of cooperating agencies and tribes to the extent practical. So I have been asked the question, why is the department so interested in working with the Park Service? And you might turn the question around and say, why is the Park Service so interested in working with us? It's really a good, I think, example of two agencies finding ways to solve each other's management dilemmas in a way together. So I have been very pleased with our cooperation with the Park Service on this. There are four alternatives in the EIS. There obviously is a no-action alternative, which would just mean to deal with problem goats as they arise in the park, but not to take any action to reduce or eliminate the population. The second option is a capture and relocation only. The third is lethal removal only. And the fourth is a combination of those two. The fourth alternative, D, is the preferred alternative as identified in this, and that's what I'm going to focus my comments on today, although I would note that should the Park Service decide to opt for option B, capture and translocation only, our operation would be identical to that under D. But I am going to talk about option D because that's the preferred alternative, and we're a cooperator. So under the preferred alternative, it is preferred because it meets the purpose, needs, and objectives better than any of the other alternatives. We will capture as many goats as safely and efficiently, stop capturing when no longer safe or efficient, we run out of places to put them, or we have no more resources. Our best estimate is that the contractors, the helicopter and mugger crew who do this kind of work, we won't be literally in the helicopter ourselves, can capture something on the order of 50% of the goats. I appreciate the public's confidence in us when they say, why can't you capture them all? But the reality is that on a wild animal like this, we'll be doing well to be able to capture a half of them without it becoming a danger to the goats and the people. At that point, under alternative D, since the objective is to have no goats, we have to start lethal removal. Unlike what's in here, the newly revised alternative D that we are busily about to publish in a few months will actually have a much larger role for the use of skilled public volunteers. And I'll talk about that a bit more in the end because that's come up as a major issue, and I want to go into that in a bit more detail. If they are unable to do all the lethal removal necessary, there probably would be some role for contractors as well. So the translocation part is the one we're most interested in because that's where the department gets more goats in places that we would love to see them, that they need to be in the North Cascades. I'll go over the methods quickly. It's mostly going to be done by helicopter. There may be some places where goats can be captured from the ground, but the Olympic Peninsula is filled with some pretty steep and forbidding wilderness terrain. You can't get there by walking. They'll be shipped to staging areas. And these are some slides are from an operation we undertook last year, a pilot operation we took with the cooperation of the state of Oregon and the Muckleshoot tribe, where we actually did it in a place we didn't need to go through this NEPA process so that we could understand more closely what we were going to be up against. So this is an example of goats have to go in individualized crates. Unlike some species, you can't move a whole bunch together. They're nasty and they damage each other. So it's a bit more involved than some. Goats also don't like to be out in the hot weather. This has to happen in the summer. And so to make sure that they don't overheat and are healthy when we release them, we are actually going to put them in refrigerator trucks. And I can tell you stories. So we'll then move them by trucks and ground from the Olympic Peninsula to staging areas and as close as we can get by driving in the North Cascades. And then we will again use another helicopter to bring them to the actual release site. We don't want to release them from a vehicle directly because that would be in areas that they won't see as being goat habitat, and they'll all disperse and mortality will be extremely high. It's important that we actually get them to a site where they will run out and say, ah, I'm in goat habitat. I've not been here before, but I recognize this area. I know what to do. That's the reason we need another helicopter drop. And then we release them and they run up into the mountains. When I talk about the need for more goats in the North Cascades, I want to clarify that there are some places where goats either never declined naturally or have recovered on their own without our help. And those are areas such as these that I've identified in the black polygons. And these are places where we actually have recreational hunting that we manage right now. And obviously those are not the candidates for relocation. We don't need to put goats where they're already doing well. These other polygons in the various colors are places that we identified through a long GIS-based process to say, where do we know that goats have historically been doing well, where we know now they're doing very poorly and need translocation to be able to recover. If we wait for them to recover on their own, we might be waiting for decades and decades, because goats increase at a rate that is more similar to bears than to deer or elk. I don't expect you to read this whole slide. In the interest of time, I'm going to ask you not to read it, but to believe me that when I tell you that there has been a considerable amount of analysis to go into the process of, okay, we need goats in the North Cascades, exactly where are we going to put them and why? There's a lot of an analytical trail that I'm happy to share with you, and this is the kind of thing probably better read in detail if you're interested in it. I will point out that we've actually got four publications that have come out of the years of analysis to go into this. At the end of the day, we have identified 12 different sites where we can get to, where we have good reason to believe that's a good place for the goats to be, and long-term we'll be able to look back and say, we've really helped buttress this North Cascades goat population by putting them in these particular sites. Each one has an identified release site where the helicopter will bring them, and an identified staging area where we will drive with the vehicles to the trucks, with trucks to bring the goats. Again, I'm happy to go over individual areas with you one by one, but in the interest of time, I'll skip over this and just ask you to take on faith the fact that there was a lot of work to go into the identification of these particular 12 sites. I do want to spend a bit more time on where we've gotten to at this point and issues that have arisen through the scoping and public comment period. These public comments have gone to the Park Service, but because we're a cooperator, we see them all, and many of them are really comments more for our part of it than for the Park Service's part of it. As I mentioned, Alternative D talks about lethally removing goats that cannot be captured. A big issue came up, well, why don't you just hunt them? Some people said, just have a hunting season in Olympic National Park, that will solve your problem. So, hunting in Olympic National Park is, as under current law, illegal. It would actually, we talk about things being requiring an act of Congress. This one really would require an act of Congress. If you haven't noticed, Congress doesn't do things very quickly these days. We think that requiring an act of Congress to actually allow for a hunt as we do them in this department would be self-defeating. It would probably kill the whole project. That said, there is the possibility of using people to do something that looks kind of like hunting in national parks that there is some history and precedent for, but we call it using skilled volunteers, public volunteers. And our current plan is to use skilled volunteers to do as much of the lethal removal as possible. This would provide people who consider themselves hunters interested in an opportunity to go into a backcountry setting, a way to actually help with the management in a way that is cheaper and less objectionable among some people than having us contractors or park employees shooting them out of helicopters. So the current plan is to emphasize the role of people who would actually go into the park under their jurisdiction with our assistance and do some of this lethal removal. So this is something that we've heard more from the public about, and I think we are being responsive and altering somewhat our plans to provide for this. So some clarification, I think, is of use here. To contrast hunting on the one hand with what we're calling qualified volunteers on the other. Hunting is licensed by the state. Qualified volunteers are not, we're not legally permitting them. They would be working as volunteers for the Park Service. Hunters are drawn by a random process without consideration of their skill or ability. In this case, we're going to be vetting volunteers to make sure that they are able to do what the Park Service needs them to do, hike into some very difficult terrain safely without causing more problems than they solve. Hunters pay for the privilege. There's no requirement for skilled volunteers to pay, although if they want to provide voluntary contributions to help defray the other expenses of this project, we have ways to accommodate that. In both cases, there's no remuneration for being a hunter or a skilled volunteer. And hunters are within the ambit of regulations. They are free to choose an animal. In this case, we are asking hunters to essentially work for the project, and the National Park Service would be helping to prioritize targets. Hunting, in hunting, we have fair chase principles. It's very important to our concept of what hunting is. Fair chase is not the object here. It's removal of certain animals, or all the animals, if possible. And importantly, on hunting, upon hunting a legal hunt, the legal possession of that animal transfers from the state to the hunter under the qualified volunteers. It's not clear if that will happen. It will initially still be property of the Park Service. We are working to see if there can be ways that legally the volunteers can have possession of some or all of those carcasses, but that's yet to be figured out. But the initial assumption is that those carcasses still belong to the Park Service, so we work it from there. So, we will be involved, most likely, in helping vet, select, and train volunteers because we have more expertise in that than the Park Service does. So we are open to the hunting community to help us do that. Carcasses, again, as I mentioned, there will be some combination of personal use by the volunteers. Others may go to tribal entities or to food banks. We're a little bit unclear about the disposition of the pelt and head. The idea is it's not supposed to be a trophy hunt. This is not something that the hunter does for their own. It needs to be differentiated from the kind of hunting that we regulate. Non-toxic ammunition, because the Park Service doesn't want additional lead on the landscape. Another issue that's arisen, question, or do you want to meet? Okay. Mumbling, okay. Should I respond to the mumble, or do you want to bring it up later? Okay. An issue that has arisen is, well, the goats in Olympic National Park, most of them came from Alaskan stock. There may be a little bit of stock from Alberta in there as well. Our animals are native. Is that a problem? Goats are monotypic. There's no subspecies that have been accepted among goats. It's just one thing, mountain goat. The goats in the North Cascades are, in fact, distinguishable at a molecular level. If you look at microsats and you do quantitative analysis, you can see some signal of the Alaska in that. That said, there is no evidence that we are aware of that any of that difference is adaptive. We don't think there's an evolutionary importance to that difference. Rather, it is probably random drift that with small populations you get certain alleles becoming more common than other alleles, and it's distinguishable. But whenever we've looked for things that we think might matter, such as genetic markers that are associated with disease resistance, we've not found anything. If you show anybody a picture or 10 pictures of 10 goats from the Olympics and 10 goats from the North Cascades, nobody's going to be able to tell any difference. It's clear that goats have thrived in the North Cascades. There doesn't seem to be any issue there. We think they will probably thrive in the North Cascades as well. So I've gone through all the literature, and while genetic issues are always at the forefront, the bigger genetic issue is the small population size we have right now. I'm much more concerned with losing rare alleles with inbreeding and drift that we have among our native goats, and I think that was more likely to be benefited from goats coming in, even if they are, at the end of the day, an Alaskan kind of goat. Happy to talk about that more if you'd like. Another issue that arose later that we didn't anticipate or talk about much in this document is the possibility of there being agricultural damage. The reason it wasn't addressed earlier on is that we have no documentation of there being agricultural damage from mountain goats anywhere in North America. We looked at the previous study we did of mountain goats, and in the thousands and thousands of data points from radio-collared animals in our previous studies, none were on agricultural lands. And that's because mountain goats are tightly linked to steep escape terrain cliffs. Even in the winter, when they do descend to lower elevations, they are not typically using low flat grounds where agriculture is an issue. That said, we've added to the documentation that if goats were to become an agricultural nuisance, we would take action to solve that problem. And almost all the goats will be wearing radio collars. I got curious about the possibility of goats becoming an agricultural issue. I thought, well, it's not in the literature, but is it possible that somewhere, somehow, goats have been noted to be an agricultural issue? And I thought, you know, if anywhere, it would have been in this place, in central Montana. That does not look, to most of us, like mountain goat habitat. And yet, Montana put goats there in the 1940s. They'd been there for quite some time, and they actually became quite abundant there for some time, and they actually had a hunt and removed some. I've actually been there, I've seen the goats. And as you can see, it's an island of a little butte surrounded by agriculture. So I got on the phone and I talked to the folks in Montana and I said, who actually know this, and in your experience, there, in the 50 years or so the goats have been there, has there ever been any issue of them being in agriculture? And the answer was no. So I think if they're not going to become an agricultural issue there, they're certainly less likely to become an agricultural issue in the North Cascades, where agriculture is at a much lower elevation and quite distinct environment from the mountains in which we generally find mountain goats, even if they're physically close. That said, we'll deal with them if that comes up. So zero complaints. And the final issue, of course, is danger to recreationists. As almost everybody knows, there was a fatality of a human. A goat actually killed somebody in the Olympic National Park. It's now getting to be 6-7 years ago. That raised the concern. Any wildlife, of course, can be a danger to people. So our plans are, first of all, I think it's not nearly as great of a concern as people think it is. That said, obviously, animals can be dangerous. Any animal that the Park Service deems aggressive, we're not going to move. It's not going to get in the refrigerator truck. It will be lethally removed. Secondarily, we have the notion of habituation. Goats are relatively easily habituated, and habituated simply means that they've lost any fear. They don't care about people. Habituated doesn't mean they're interested in people. Doesn't mean they're responding to the possibility of a reward. It just means they could care less. If they're far from you, they're far from you. If they're close to you, they're close to you. Goats that are habituated in Olympic National Park will only be moved to the most remote of our 12 areas. We have some areas that are within a few miles of the Pacific Crest Trail, and only goats from areas that we don't consider to be habituated in the park will be moved there as an additional precaution. And then finally, if we do find that goats are becoming a problem in the North Cascades, we already have a model step-down plan that we developed with the Olympic National Forest when goats were deemed to be an issue. This came from a place called Mount Eleanor, not too far from here. If you're familiar with it, it's a place where people and goats are in close proximity all the time. We've developed a step-down plan that we have a plan that we evaluate the situation. We ask questions about what's happening with the public, what's happening with the goat, and at the end of the day, if we get to that point, we could actually take lethal action to remove a goat. We would certainly prefer not to. We don't want to overreact, but we do have some protocols in place and some experience in dealing with that we think we could if need be. I ran through it quickly. Questions? I don't get to find out what the murmuring was about, huh? No. Okay. Better left as a murmur. Yeah.
I'm Svetner Squirman. When you get to the point that you may need some volunteers, how will a person go about volunteering?
I'm making a list. Yeah. We will need some volunteers. It's going to be a bit of a three-ring circus because we'll have people on the peninsula side dealing with the goats when they come in, and then some people will be needed to help drive the vehicles in a convoy.
No, I don't mean drive, and I mean the volunteers to go up and help.
Ah, okay. we'll talk about aviation safety training.
No, I mean go up with a rifle.
With that?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean to do the lethal removal?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. No, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. Yes. There will be...
I'm trying to be...
Okay. There will be a formal process. Yeah, there'll be... We haven't got the details worked out yet of that because we're still not have to a record of decision. They haven't selected alternative D yet.
Yeah, I know where one resides.
Seems to be a problem.
Thanks.